Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
We're beginning a series on Psalms, out of the Psalms. And I want to encourage you, I started this years ago. Whatever day of the month it is, like today is the 16th, you read the Psalm for that day, like it would be Psalm 16, and then you read every 30th Psalm, like 46 and 76 and on. And within a month, you read all 150 Psalms. So it's really a great thing to do. And originally, I was going to be doing this next week, which would have been Psalm 23. But things got preempted. I was asked to go ahead and do it today. So you're still getting Psalm 23. But in thinking about it, you know, it's an awesome psalm to begin with. It's probably the one we all know the best. Most of us have memorized. And in thinking on it and meditating on it, I realized what a pertinent psalm it is for the hour that we're living in. So as that psalm gets stirred up in your heart, you know, say it out loud to God. You know, the parts you can't quite remember, get into the word and lift it up to him. The interesting thing is, David, who went on to be King David, wrote Psalm 23 and also Psalm 19 when he was 16 or 17 years old. He was a teenager with his sheep on the mountains of Judea, just looking up to God and worshiping out of his heart as a young boy. And it was that heart that God said, I need him to rule my people. I need him to be king over Israel. And so as you read it, think of that. Just a young boy that the Holy Spirit gave him these words, and he probably had his little harp with him, just singing it unto the Lord. And he knew, because he was a shepherd, that the Lord Jesus was actually his shepherd. So let's read through the one that we typically know a lot. This is the New King James Version. And I'll just read it quickly. Like I said, most of you might have it memorized. And then I want to look at it in another translation that will spark some new thoughts toward it. Okay, in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that good? Speaking in this hour, I will fear no evil. You know, sometimes you just have to literally turn off the news and look to his word, because, you know, only bad news sells. So, you know, statistics and all that can be going on all around us. I love Psalm 91. I've been meditating on that a lot, like some of you have. 1,000 might fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. And I know many of us have been praying over our houses, pleading the blood of Jesus over our houses, and that is what we need to do in this hour. Are you with me? Well, Psalm 23 in the Passion Translation reads a little bit different, but some of the meanings to the words are really amplified and come out a little bit more. And I thought it was just a very wonderful translation to spark meditation. And what we mean by meditation, we're not, you know, it's not some Eastern religion kind of a thing, you know, where you sit in a certain position and go, all of that. Meditating in God's word is reading it, and then thinking on it and letting the Holy Spirit chew it up in you and break apart the various meanings of the words. Maybe go to another scripture. The Bible says that scripture interprets scripture. And so in looking at some of this translation that's a little bit different, I believe it's going to spark some of that in you, and you're going to want to just sit down with your Bible, with the Holy Spirit, and think on some of these things. What I've been asking myself a lot in this time, in this season, is where am I? What do I believe? You know, where am I, God? You know, Pastor Jess said it a few weeks ago. She said that, you know, we've been in boot camp. We've been learning the word for all these years, many of us, and we almost have a glut for the word around here. You know, there's so much teaching that we've received from the word of God. But now the test has come, and now it's time to see what we really do believe. And we've had head knowledge. We've got it all underlined and marked in our Bibles. We've got arrows. We've got stars. We've got different colors that mean different things. But when everything is stripped away that you had your security in, your job, your health, all of those things, are we still trusting God? Are we still looking to His Word? So let's look at Psalm 23 in the Passion Translation. Are you ready? I'm going to read the whole thing first, and then we're going to break it open. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where He restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness, so that I can bring honor to His name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all that I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Isn't that good? Isn't that so good? Well, you know what I thought I would do, just to help us interact a little bit, is I'm going to be going through kind of verse by verse and looking at some things, but then I'm going to have you say some things. We're going to declare some things this morning. Because, you know, we've said it for years, and it's so true, because it's the Bible, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the Word of God spoken out of my own mouth, it seems like it sinks in deeper. So when we break open some of these truths, we're going to pause for a minute, and we're going to declare some things. Are you with me? So you're going to be in your living room, and if your kids are doing their homework, they're going to be like, Mom's going crazy. But I want you to get in a habit starting today of speaking the word, if you haven't already, and declaring what God says about you rather than what you might be feeling about yourself today. Are you with me? So let's look at this. Let's look at verse 1 in the Passion Translation. It says, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough." This first part, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. The word there for shepherd is ra'ah. Ra'ah, just a little four-letter word. And it's commonly translated shepherd, but it actually means best friend. That's why this translation is said, "He is my best friend and my shepherd." He's your best friend, ladies. Many of us have best friends that, you know, we still have found ways to communicate. You know, we're texting, we're FaceTiming, we're Zooming, we're doing all of the above so we can still connect with those best friends. But Jesus ultimately has to be our best friend. He's the one that has to be our go-to. He has to be our first response. He has to be the one that we go to in the dark hours, because nobody knows us, not even you. Nobody knows us, not even ourselves. Nobody knows us like He does. He knows even our hidden motives, and He'll reveal those sometimes. He knows everything about us, and yet He so passionately loves us. So I've already asked the question. I started to ask the question, but I want to be pointed with this. When we can't go to church, are we still the church? We've had it all stripped away. We can't gather together in big numbers, but we went to the Word and we saw it, that the Bible says in Matthew 18 that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is right in the midst. And then we know that we're born of His Spirit and the Holy Spirit indwells us. So He is with us always. And He said, I will never forsake you. But gathering just a few people in our living room on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever we can live stream or get into the Word, He's there. But just through the week, are we the church? Are we making Him our first love? Are we putting Him first? Are we keeping up with those things? Or I know our schedule's all been changed. We've got kids home that weren't. We've got husband home that wasn't. Or we're trying to work from home. All of the above. But we still have to get back to that basic, Jesus, You are my Lord. I work for You. You are my master. So what are You telling me to do today? And be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So He has to lead us like a shepherd. He has to be our best friend. I want you to say out loud with me. Are you ready? I'm going to say it and then you can repeat it. I want you to say, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. Are you saying it? The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I want you to say this. I always have more than enough. That's what the last part of that verse said. Say it. I always have more than enough. Say that out loud. Think about it. You might not feel like you have more than enough. You might be counting the little squares of toilet paper right now. I don't know. It's the new commodity. Everything. We don't even need money anymore. It's toilet paper. No. But you might not feel at all like you have more than enough. But the psalmist declared, and it's the word of God to us today, that we have more than enough, a full supply. And we have to declare that in the face of fear, declare that in the face of lack. Are you with me today? Let's go on to verse 2. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. The word love there is agape, and we've had some teaching on that. But the first part of agape is ago, which means to lead like a shepherd. And peo, it's those two words put together, means to rest. So it's to find, to let Him lead you as a shepherd into rest. You know, He'll lead you into a place of rest. He'll actually lead you out of stress and worry. If you'll spend time with Him, hear His voice, He'll lead you into that place of rest for your soul. And His love is luxurious. I don't know about you, but when I think of the word luxurious, I think of extravagance, over the top, more than enough. You know, if you can, buy the luxury car. If you can, stay at the luxury hotel. You know, the one that has all the bells and all the whistles. And just, you know, pamper yourself. Isn't that wonderful? But His love for us is luxurious. It's extravagant. He created everything that you see and some things that we're still yet to see because He loves us. He gave us the most precious thing to His heart, the most precious one to His heart, His own precious Son. So everything else is just tiddlywinks. Everything else is just no big deal to God. He has an extravagant, luxurious love toward us. He leads us into those green meadows where it's lush and beautiful and we can rest. Let's say His love for me is extravagant. Can you say that? Say it out loud. His love for me is extravagant. It's extravagant. You know, we need to love ourselves as He loves us. I'm not saying in a vain way that it's me, myself, and I, you know, nobody else matters. But we need to love ourselves in the sense that Jesus died for us. And so you're valuable. And the value of something is measured by what you can exchange it for. And God gave us his precious son to say, I want a relationship with you. I have bought you with the most expensive thing I had. And so his love for you is extravagant. And you need to just relish in that. Just sit in his presence and say, Jesus, you extravagantly love me. You don't look at all my dark parts and all my flaws and I'm never measuring up. He doesn't have a standard on you every day saying, oh, measure up to this. No. You've been made righteous in his righteousness. There's nothing you could have earned or deserved to have eternal life. But he loved you so much, his luxurious love, his extravagant love, that he sent Jesus to die for you, that he could buy you back into a personal relationship with him because he so extravagantly loves you. So we can say that, oh, Jesus, your love for me is extravagant. And we can think on that and meditate on that. The last part of that verse says, his tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. The quiet brook of bliss. The Hebrew word menuha there means the waters of a resting place. You know, in the Bible, it says that in Isaiah 11:10, it says that there was no place for him to lay his head. And Jesus actually said he fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah spoke when he talked to his disciples. And he said that the foxes have holes, you know, but the Son of Man doesn't. He didn't have a place per se to rest his head. And yet God always provided for him in his earthly ministry. But you know where he's found his resting place now? In our hearts. He rests in our hearts. And the authority that he's given us in his name, he stands in that authority within us. And the Holy Spirit rises up and gives us the strength to know when to declare it and to take that authority. But he rests in us. And you know, there's glory where Jesus is. And so as he rests in us, and as his pleasure was to take residency within us, and we are the very temple of the Holy Spirit, then we know where he is all glorious. He wants to make you glorious today, ladies. He wants to make you beautiful in his righteousness. And so wear it well. Just put it on like a robe and know that it did not come by anything that you could do or deserve, but because, again, of his beautiful, luxurious, extravagant love. And then as we follow him, as we follow his leading, and that's what's so important in this hour. And again, as we come through this big upheaval that's gone on in our society, and leaders are still trying to figure out exactly how to do it and how the timing should be, and we have the balance of what's going on physically with people still dying, yes, and yet an economy that has to, you know, pull out. And in this hour, we are going to have to walk very closely with Jesus to hear his voice, to be led by his Spirit. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been led by the Spirit lately, even where to find toilet paper. But he will lead you. He will guide you by his Spirit because he's in residency there. And so we can say, I hear his voice. I know his will. Let's say out loud, he leads me to a place of peace. Say that in your living room. Say that wherever you're at. He leads me to a place of peace. If you're anxious today, if you're worried today, if you're almost frantic today about what to do, where it's going to come from, how it's going to happen, I want to encourage you to let him lead you into a place of peace. And if you have no peace, that means you're not quite there. It's the litmus test. No peace, you're still in worry. So you've got to find that place. Get up an hour early, beat the kids, whatever you have to do. Close the bathroom door, lock it, you know, for a little longer. Whatever you have to do. But get on your knees or get on your face or get before his face and say, Jesus, I so desperately need your peace. Thank you for meeting all of my need according to your mighty riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he's going to do just that. Amen. Moving on to verse 3, it says, that's where he restores and revives my life by these waters of bliss, this brook of bliss, it said. That's where he restores and revives my life. The word there in Hebrew is nephesh. It means to return. He causes your soul to return to him. In the Amplified, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. The last part of that verse, it says, he opens before me pathways of God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. When we walk in his righteousness, when we're led by his spirit, when we're not that stereotypical religious person that maybe people think of as a Christian, but we're kind and we're generous and we're thoughtful and we extend our filled hands to the needy, then we display his righteousness and it brings him honor. Don't you want to bring your king honor today? I know that I do. So he causes you to walk in that character, which is his righteousness, that will bring him glory when we display it. Let's say, Jesus has given me his righteous nature. Say that, Jesus, you've given me your righteous nature. I can act like him and bring him glory. I can act like him and bring him glory. We don't do good things to earn any brownie points with God or any sense of his approval. He's approved us already. He loves us so very, very much, as we've been talking about. But we act like him. We show kindness. We show love. We extend our hands, our helping hands. We do that as a response to his love. He has his nature on the inside of us. And we can quickly say, Jesus, what would you do? Holy Spirit, lead me. And he will lead you because his righteous nature is on the inside. Let's move on to verse 4. Are you with me today? It says, Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, where some of us have been lately, fear will never conquer me. For you already have. Fear can't conquer you because he's conquered you. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. His authority in the name of Jesus. Devil, you will not do that. You will not take my husband's job. You will not reduce my hours. You will not afflict my family with this sickness. In the name of Jesus. His authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You know, that rhymes. He says, the comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. He's so near. Let's say that together. It's a little poem, and I was thinking if you commit that, you can just walk through the house saying that little poem. Are you with me? Let's say it together. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. He's not just near, ladies. He's literally on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, you become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. In the King James Version, it says, you anoint my head with oil. But oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. We know that. And as we've learned, the New Testament brings revelation to the Old Testament. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit here, that he anoints us with the fragrance of his Holy Spirit. The last part of verse 5 says, You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. And we've already been talking about it, but I cannot emphasize the importance in this hour of you being able to spend time with the Lord Jesus and to come into his presence. And I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit will help you. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you just made Jesus your Lord. Maybe you haven't yet really experienced his presence, you would say. I love God and I'm learning about him. But I want to encourage you to get into God's word. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in his word. Psalms is a beautiful place to start. And then lift your hands up to him and say, Jesus, I'm your daughter. I'm your girl. I want to live for you. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to experience the joys of your presence. And I'm telling you, beautiful ladies, the Holy Spirit will envelop you. He will strengthen you. It's by his Spirit and his word. They agree. The Holy Spirit is revealed through the word of God, and the Holy Spirit helps teach us the word of God. So he wants to enrapture you today. He wants to fill you to overflowing. And so we can drink of him until we overflow. I have a glass of water here, and I just took a drink. I'm going to take another one. And if I were to continue to fill it and fill it and fill it, eventually it would overflow. And actually, I've done that sometimes with illustrations. And there's a big puddle of water on the floor. The maintenance come in afterwards and go, oh, Pastor Sue is here again. But anyway, but when we drink of his love and his presence and we spend time with him and we cast the whole weight of our cares on him and literally just shove him out of the way and just worship him and thank him for his goodness and thank him for his love, his presence comes in such a real way, such a beautiful way, that when you leave that place, there is a fragrance upon you of the Holy Spirit. And even your children will want to be with you. No, just your kid. Maybe you have teenagers, you know what I mean. But others will delight in your presence. The crankiness leaves, the criticisms and judgmentalism all leave, the way too much opinion leaves. And you have the presence of the Holy Spirit that leaves with you when you come out of that place, because what? He's still there. So it overflows into those around you. Many times we try to mentally figure out, what can I say? How can I win this one to the Lord? And we go through these mental gymnastics. Whereas if we would just spend more time with him and walking closely with him, then in that moment when he opens the door of utterance, he says, don't think about what you'll say. Open your mouth, I'll fill it. And so when you're delighting in his presence, when you have the love of God just so strong in your heart that it's overflowing, then you come into those places. A door opens to you, and just out of your mouth comes exactly what that person needs to hear. Maybe it's just laughing at a remark that they make or something they mumble in the grocery line when you're 6 feet away. But God will give you in that moment something to say that will lift them up and maybe cause their eyes to turn to Jesus. You know, recently a friend shared with me that it's one of the number one Google searches right now. How do I pray? I had questions about prayer. Bible sales are up 2 times the number that we're selling twice as many Bibles online right now because people are hungry. Everything's been stripped away. Not even your sports hero can you watch right now. It's all been stripped away, all of the idols. And people don't have answers any other place than in looking to God and to his word. We have the answers, sweet girl. We've been in boot camp learning for this very hour. And so we can't shrink back. We can't get insecure. I won't know what to say. We can't do any of that. We need to spend time with God. Know that he loves us. Know that he wants to use us mightily. And then step out in faith and speak a word in due season when he presents that opportunity. Are you with me? So then now I want you to say this with me. I spend time in his presence. I spend time in your presence, Lord Jesus. Let's start over. I spend time in your presence so your love overflows. I spend time in your presence so your love overflows. This is what I do, Jesus. I spend time in your presence. Maybe you think, well, I haven't done that for weeks. But you're declaring that you do spend time in his presence. And as you hear it come out of your mouth, faith is going to rise. When you wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you and say, you said you spend time in my presence. Okay, let's go. Let's go. And anytime you put him first, he meets every other need. We know that if we seek him first and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us. So he's our priority, right, ladies? We've got to make him our priority. Now let's look at verse 6 to this psalm, the last verse. So after learning all this, what an abundant supply he wants us to have and how much he invites us into his presence, the psalmist asks the question, so why would I fear the future? And I'm asking you that today, ladies. I'm asking myself that, ladies. So why in the world would I fear the future? You know, God's in control of your life if you give him control. Some people have some other things happening in their lives right now. And we say many times, God's in control. Well, yes, he has his timing on all this. And he knows the day and the hour that we'll return to him. He created all this. He knows what's going on. But if you want him in control of your life, you've got to make him control. And see, that's what we did when we said, Jesus, you're my Lord. We said, I give you control. But yet many times we try to take it back or put it somewhere else. But he is our Lord, and he wants to have full control of our life. And if we've given that to him, why would we fear the future? We have to look at the future and rejoice. The Bible says when all these things start happening, look up and rejoice because your redemption draws nigh. So we need to be rejoicing in this hour. Let that cup stay full. Let it overflow. Let the world around you see the rejoicing that God is doing in your heart. And you're going to see how brightly your light shines in this dark hour. Are you with me?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.